We honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Breathe upon your people. Breathe upon your word. In the name of Jesus, bless us in this celebration of our men, manhood, fatherhood, in our women, womanhood, mothers. Without them, there is no man. And Lord, as we celebrate the creation of your hands, because you do all things well, you are the perfect God, and everything you do is perfect. Even in spite of the corruption of the world, the corruption that the serpent brought into the garden, the corruption that Satan brought into the world, even in spite of that, through the redemption of Jesus, you do all things well. Hallelujah. It's all beautiful in your eyes. All wonderful. All amazing. Your creation, so perfect. So perfect. Hallelujah. Whew. Your plan of glory, so perfect, so perfect. My goodness, your breath upon our lives. Ooh, so perfect, so perfect, so flawless, so flawless. Hallelujah. How amazing you are. How amazing you are. We bless your name today. Feed us with your word. Encourage our hearts. Build us up. Release grace upon our lives today. We thank you, Father. Think through my mind. Speak and minister through my vocal cords. I thank you, Father. Give us understanding hearts. Hearts that yearn after your word. God, that are excited to receive. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshiped. Amen and amen. And everybody said amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for being with us for our special Father's Day celebration today. Person, virtual. We're so thankful that you took the time to come to rejoice with us. I'm going to minister an abbreviated message. It's not just for men. Women are going to get something from it as well. Amen. And I'm going to abbreviate it. I'm going to abbreviate it because I tell you, I can't. It's tempting to get into the weeds of it, but I would not. I'll just abbreviate it. And I call it, it's a two-part message. I call it, Adam, where are you? Thank you, Mordecai. That's my message. Adam, where are you? Thank you, Mordecai. So I'm going to abbreviate it as well, as much as I can, but I just need some time so that the men can know, okay, they heard the Father's Day message, and the women can know, okay, they got a good Sunday message. Hallelujah. So let's take our confession, our 2025 confession, and then we're going to get in the word. The Lord is here with us. Amen. We're really excited about open heavens. If you are joining us for the fast this coming week, it's just 3 days. You do it any way you can. You miss a meal or you can miss two, whatever. You start, you break 5, 6, whenever you want, and just join us for a time of corporate prayer. There is no law. There's no legalism about it. We just want to set some time apart to pray and to seek the Lord and to intercede and prepare spiritually for the great things that the Lord is going to do during our open heavens weekend. Amen. Are you excited? I said, are you excited about it? I'm so excited. Glory to God. All right, let's do this. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled
God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvests, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued. Mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet with long life. He satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. that word is being established in all of our lives. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Adam, where are you? Thank you, Mordecai. Adam, where are you? Thank you, Mordecai. Genesis chapter 3. Let's read from verse 6 to 12. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Notice, he was the one called to lead. But here, she is the one leading. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Watch this. And Adam and his wife, not Eve and her husband. And Adam, I want you to know, everything God does, God never makes mistakes. Everything you see in the Bible is deliberate, is calculated, is planned. God could have created Eve first and take the rib from her side and then create and made Adam. But he did not. He did it the other way. All these scriptures you are reading, God could have referenced Eve first, but he did not. Amen. Look at that verse 7 again. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves apron, and they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. He didn't call unto Eve. He didn't ask for Eve. And the Lord said unto him, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now watch this. And he said, God said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I commanded you that you should not eat? Notice, he's having a conversation and Eve is silent. Eve's voice is not even heard, not even once, until God addressed her. And the only reason God addressed her was because Adam will not take responsibility. He will not be accountable. Instead of being responsible and being accountable, Adam said, listen to what he said. Listen to this. And look at this verse, verse 10. He said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you? And Adam, the man, said, the woman that you, God, gave me. So notice, when it came time to be accountable and to be responsible, Adam was nowhere to be found. When it came time to defend the garden from the serpent, Adam was nowhere to be found. When it came time to find a way out of the mess that had been created, Adam was nowhere to be found. I'm going to tell you one more thing, which I don't know if you've thought about ever, that the two children that came out of this marriage, the first two children are never mentioned after the garden. Everything in this family collapsed. Everything. You know what happened to Abel? And you know what happened to Cain? So it wasn't just in the garden that God was asking Adam, where are you? Even when they left the garden, God kept wondering, Adam, where are you? Where are you? I have a little assignment for the young people, the children. If you are under the age of 21, where are my little kids today? Tiny little kids. Yes, I love you all. Ah, I see some adults putting up their hands too. All right, good. Okay. Everyone under the age of 21. Everyone under the age of 21. Yeah, I know some of you wish you were under the age of 21. You are already at 50, 51, and you are putting up your hands, but we know you, we know you. We know you, we know you, we know you. I have a little assignment for you. We have paper. So after church, today is Father's Day. Everyone under the age of 21, everyone, I want you, little kids, older kids, if you are under the age of 21, teenagers, I want you to write out 5 things that you are thankful to your dad for. 5. This year. I want you to think through this year from January to now. This is June. And I want you to think of 5 things that you are thankful that your dad has done for you. You are thankful to God for your dad. And I want you to write them down. And today, Sunday, is Father's Day. So at the end of today, there are 2 assignments. This first one is today. You have to give it to him. Today, at the end of the day, write it down and give it to him and say, thank you, Dad, for these 5 things. Now, tomorrow is Monday. If they can't write, your moms will help you. Thank you, Pastor Tino. Now, tomorrow is part B of this assignment. I want you to get another piece of paper, and I want you to write 5 things you are thankful to mommy for. 5. That mommy has done for you this year. Tomorrow. Not next week. Tomorrow. So today is Father's Day. We're going to write the ones for dad today. And at the end of today, you are going to go to dad with your list. And you're going to say, thank you, Dad. Tomorrow is Monday. I know you are all on summer break now. So no excuse. Don't say, I have to do homework. There's no homework. Swimming lessons. Do it before swimming lessons. If you are doing swimming lessons. Write 5 things you are thankful to mom for. 5. This year. Not last year. This year. 5 things mom has done. This year, you think about it, you are really thankful. 5. Write them out. And before the end of the day tomorrow, I want you to go to mom and say, mom, thank you. All right? Do we all understand? If you need paper, have a bundle of paper right there in front of the in front of the big sanctuary. There's a pew there. I have a whole bundle of paper. I put it right there. So if you need paper, grab that paper today. It's a lot. And we still have more reams of paper, I think, in that workroom over there. So, and then you can get pen. If you don't have pen, ask mommy and daddy for a pen. They'll give you a pen. Make sure you write it down. They are going to stick it up somewhere. And when we come back next week for communion, I'm going to ask to make sure you did it. If you didn't do it, there's going to be trouble. Yes, Grandma. Oh my goodness. I just love your spirit, man. I love your spirit. I love it. It's like this bread that is going around, where I want mine today. I want my own bread too. Glory to God. All right. Yes. Yes. So I pegged it at 21 because at that age, up until that age, you need to be directed. You need to be instructed. Right? But beyond that age, a lot of initiative should really come from you. But I'm going to second what mommy asked. And I'm going to ask those of you who can take that initiative, even though it has been said now, write that. And in your case, you shouldn't write 5, you should probably write 10. And go to dad and go to mom. And if they are not around, send it to them wherever they are. Say, dad, thank you. Thank you for these things. Mom, thank you for these things. Let's be thankful. My goodness. Folks, life is such a precious gift. Let's not take it for granted. Everything God has given to us is so precious. It's so precious. Let's not take it for granted. Let's not allow life to cheat us. Hallelujah. Let's be thankful. Thankfulness is the key to increase. When you are thankful for little things, God will elevate you. God will promote you. When you take for granted the blessings of God, life will take you for granted. There are things that should happen for you naturally without you thinking, just like the breath you breathe. But you will have to struggle. That will not be you in Jesus' name. I say that will not be you. All right, that's my assignment. Let's get back to here, to this. Adam, where are you? Now, I don't have time. I said it's abbreviated. But if you go back to Genesis 2, we won't read this because of time now. Genesis 2, 7 to 9, 15 to 18, 21 to 25. You see there where God made the garden, put Adam there, and gave him instructions and told him what he was supposed to do. And gave him clear instructions and clear directions. Unfortunately, even though God put Adam in charge of the garden and in charge of the world, Adam was MIA. He was missing in action. Notice that from the beginning of times, God has always called men to build with him. From the very beginning of times, Adam was called to build with God. The first person he was supposed to build was his wife, Eve. Using the instructions and the directives and the wisdom that God had given to him, he was supposed to nurture that woman. He was supposed to feed her. He was supposed to establish her in the covenant that God had made with him. You know, the work that he needed to do with Eve was so much less than the work that he needed to do with his children. Why? Because life is really a relay race, right? When you get married, the hope is that your spouse is already built to a point, right? You don't want to marry somebody who has not been built, man or woman. It's a problem for you to marry an adult who has not been built. You will suffer things you should not suffer. You will have problems you should not have. Some things should be built. Life is a relay. There are stages in our lives when some things should be imparted to us. And when sometimes when we get past those stages, it's a little late. If those things were not imbibed, if they were not received at those earlier stages, when that baton is being passed on to the next person, that person has to go because there's a big hole. They need to fill that hole first. And my prayer for you is that's not what you have to deal with. And all of our young people, our children, our own children as well, you know, as they get into marriageable age, you know, it's not just getting married. It's not just getting married. Marriage is no security at all. In fact, sometimes marriage can be load if you are not ready for it. It's a burden, can be a burden if you are not ready for it. It's not just getting married. Take your time. Don't be in a hurry. Get built and believe God for somebody who is built. Yes. For you to get married and be telling the person you marry that they have to find a job, that's a problem. That's a very big problem. Somebody should have taught them that long before you met them. Long! They should know the value of work. For you to be the one telling your wife or your husband let's take care of our home. That's a big problem. Somebody should have taught them that. Amen. Amen. For you to be the one telling your spouse, let's plan for the future. Let's have a vision. That's a big problem. Somebody should have told them when they were young. You celebrate today, you are thankful for yesterday, but you keep your eye on the future, tomorrow. Yes. You plan for tomorrow. Yes. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm trying to preach an abbreviated message here, but it gets so sweet in some parts. That's why I told you I don't want to get into the weeds, so I got to keep moving. Somebody say, keep moving.
Keep moving.
First person he was called to build was his wife, Eve. And after that, his children, Cain and Abel. Thank God for the blessing of a new beginning. Seth showed up in this family. Thank God for the blessing of a new beginning. Without Seth, the memory of Adam may be completely inexistent. Thank God for the blessing of a new beginning. Adam was called to build with God. First person who was supposed to build was his wife Eve, and then his children Cain, Abel, and Seth. When God wanted to build a family, he appointed Adam. When God wanted to build an ark, he called Noah. When God wanted to build a covenant, he called Abraham. When God wanted to build a tabernacle, he called Moses. When God wanted to build a nation, he called David. When God wanted to build the church, he called and he appointed 12 apostles. All the people God called and appointed mostly were men first. That tells you, man, that there's a calling and an appointment of God and an anointment of God upon your life to build with God and to build for God. God is counting on you to build the lives around you. Build Christ in them. And go through a short list here of things that need to be built in our children. The first one is Christ. Build Christ in them. Then build hope in them. Build faith in them. Build vision in them. Build purpose in them. Build covenant in them. Build love in them. Build wisdom in them. Build grace in them. Build strength in them. Build joy and happiness in them. Build confidence in them. Build authority in them. Build life in them. God is counting on you to build the people he has put around you. Praise God for fathers who take their place and build the lives around them in partnership with God. I'm going to take a minute and switch gears and talk a little bit about Mordecai. Thank you, Mordecai. Mordecai is probably one of the best examples that I believe exists in the Bible about fathers who build lives around them. Let's go read a couple of scriptures. Mordecai was not even Esther's biological father. Even though the book of Esther was named after Esther, I want you to note everything Esther became was because of the father figure in her life. His name was Mordecai. That's why I titled this, Thank You, Mordecai. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Esther chapter 2 from verse 5 to 7. Esther chapter 2 from verse 5 to 7. Now, in Shushan, let's just read that. Thank you, Mariah. Let's read that from the Amplified. I think it's better. Just go straight from the Amplified. Now, there was a certain Jew in the capital, in Shushan, whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives taken away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried into exile. Sorry about all these big names. Verse 7. This man, Mordecai, oh, I love this. Ooh, oh, I love this. I could pause and preach a whole hour on this. This man, verse 7, Mordecai, brought up Hadassah. That is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother. The maiden, Esther, Hadassah, was beautiful and lovely. Those were endowments God gave her. She didn't have to do anything for that. God gave her. But you are never complete with the endowment God gave you. God raises up people to add to those endowments to make you qualified to succeed in your assignment in life. The endowments God gave you, he gave you. You didn't work for it. The talent you have, you didn't work for it. But God uses people. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. You are never made until you allow yourself to be made by the people God put in your life. There's a fashioning that God wants to do for every single creation of his. That's why the rib from Adam's side was not enough. For that rib to just come out, that was not a woman. That was a rib. He had to form her into a woman. Amen. A rib is just a rib. A rib is just a rib. Not the one you eat. Not that rib that you eat. The one on your side. That rib is just a rib. Until it is formed and shaped. God did the first forming and the first shaping. But every other forming and every other shaping after the one he did at the beginning must be done by a human being. Let's read verse 7 again. I really love this scripture. He had brought up Hadassah. Oh, glory to God. That is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother. The maiden was beautiful and lovely. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. I want to spend a couple of minutes and talk about that phrase he brought up. He brought up. It's a Hebrew word, aman, A-M-A-N. It's a verb that means to be firm, to build up something or someone, to support, to nurture, to establish. The primary meaning is that of providing stability and confidence, like a baby will find in the arms of a parent. A related word is the Hebrew word omna, O-M-N-A-H, means to bring up, to nourish, to rear, to train, to provide for as a parent. Esther's biological parents died when she was young, but God provided a father for her. His name was Mordecai. Praise God for fathers who take their place and build the lives around them in partnership with God. Before I leave reading the book and try to bring this message to a close, I want to read a couple more scriptures. There are some things I can't really dwell in here because it's abbreviated, but there are some things I want to show you here. And actually, if you know, those of you who are interested, you can make some time this week, next week. Read the book of Esther. Read Nehemiah. Esther is right after Nehemiah. If you can, at some point, that one is a very long one, but read Esther. Esther is a very powerful book. It's a very powerful book. It's named Esther, but really, that book should have been named Mordecai. Well, should have been named in a human thinking. There's a reason God called it Esther, because it's about Esther. But I'm telling you, when you read that story, everything Esther became was because of Mordecai. Let's read a couple more verses in these scriptures. Look at it. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. Esther had not made known her nationality or her kindred. Why? For Mordecai had charged her not to do so. When he brought her up, he gave her instruction. There were certain things Mordecai told Esther. This is what you must do. This is what you must not do. You know, one of the greatest blessings about the life of Esther? She was obedient. She was obedient. Says, look at verse 10 again. Esther had not made, for some reason, Mordecai said, don't tell them where you are from yet. He knew. He didn't know why himself. But somehow within him, he kind of sensed there was going to be a time in the future when God will let them tell. And God will let them use it. But for now, be quiet about it. If it was today, Esther would have said, "Huh? Who are you to tell me what to say and what not to say? Abby, it's a free world. We live here in the United States of America. Huh? Who are you to tell me? I read a lot. I saw many stories on TikTok." Right? I saw many stories on TikTok. I thank God. Esther was obedient. Verse 10, Mordecai had not made known her nationality or her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her not to do so. Verse 11, and Mordecai, who was an attendant in the king's court, walked every day before the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what would become of her. This man, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, this is a father. This is a true father. Very present. Very present. Every day, walked. Not for his own job. For Esther. For Esther. Somebody say, thank you, Mordecai. Go down to verse 15. Now, when the turn for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter, had come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's attendant, the keeper of the women, suggested. Note this next phrase. And Esther won favor in the sight of all who saw her. Esther won favor in the sight of all who saw her. You know where that grace for that favor came from? Came from Mordecai. The way he raised her. The way he raised her. Yeah, she was here. Yeah, the Bible tells she was fair. She was beautiful. She already qualified to be noticed, to be celebrated. But that fairness and that beauty can only take you so far. There's other places you get to in life, bam, the doors are shut. All those natural endowments cannot take you through those doors. They can't. You know why? Because so many other people have the same endowments. So many. There's one thing that carries you into places where man can't carry you. My friends, there is an oil. That's why fathers, oh, what a blessing. What a glorious calling. My friends, I personally, I don't know a higher calling beyond being called to the ministry, serving God, our Father, being called a husband, serving my wife. I don't know a greater calling than being a father, either a father to children that were born through me directly or a surrogate father to other children that God brought into my life, like Mordecai, because he was not her biological father. There is no higher calling. He walked pace every day in front of that place, not for himself, for Esther. And grace, favor came upon her life. Verse 16. So Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the maidens. So that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. I need you to read one last verse, verse 20. Now, Esther had not yet revealed her nationality or her people. Why? For she obeyed Mordecai's command to her to fear God and execute his commands, just as when she was being brought up. Just as when she was being brought up. We're called to build. Fathers, it's a calling, it's a heavenly calling to build these lives. God will show us things about the people we are called to build long before those people see them. Long before. Mordecai did an amazing job raising up Esther. You can see the fruits, can't you?
Yes.
She became the queen. How many queens can there be? How many queens can there be? Mordecai qualified Esther to be a queen by raising her well. My friends, it's a privilege to raise lives. Our jobs can't compare. Making money, what can that? That cannot compare. Promotion at work, ministry accomplishment, they can't compare. Because one life you raise has a multiplier effect.
Yes.
That's what's called legacy.
Yes.
One life you raise, that you raise well, my friends, can bring millions. Millions of graces and blessings and harvests into your future that you have never even dreamed about. Let's raise them well. Let's raise them well. Let's be present. Be a real man of God. Always remember, valor is inner strength, is inner character, is godliness. Remember the able men qualities that Jethro gave. People who fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Be a real man of God. Seek God's approval in everything you do. Don't lose sleep over man's approval or endorsements. Be present. Be present for those children. Like Mordecai was present for Esther, be present. Know the will of God and do it. Be a godly priest at home. Keep the serpent out of your garden. Keep the serpent out of your... Don't let that serpent carry on a long conversation with anyone in your family. How can they talk for so long with that serpent and you were not there to interject and show the right way? Come on. Come on. How could you be so absent for so long that a whole new life was created right under your roof and you were not aware. Keep the serpent out. Love, protect, serve your family. Lead, communicate God's will, lead by example. Don't outsource leadership. Be responsible. Be tender and compassionate, but be firm. Be courageous. Be honest. Be truthful. Get God's vision for the future. Make provision for the present. Get God's vision for the future. Let me say that again. Get God's vision for the future. Get God's vision for the future. Get God's vision for the future and make provision for the present. You know, one of the things that's so wrong in our world, people celebrate the present so much, they lose sight of how important the future is. They put everything, that's why it's called a microwave generation. They put everything in today. They put everything in today. Don't think about tomorrow. You see all the noise being made everywhere. It's what today is today. People are hardly thinking. I got to close. Let's close here. Let me read. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you got something. I apologize to you. It's a very abbreviated message. Let me read to you day 13 from our Uncommon Wisdom devotional. Hallelujah. It's about building with God and let me read that and close. I'm going to pray and close. Of course, the greatest tool we need is the word of God. Paul said, put that up for me before I read this, please, Moriah. Acts chapter 20, 32. I commend you to God. What's the greatest tool we need to build lives? It's the word of God and the grace of God. Those are the two greatest tools we need. I commend you to God. This is what Paul says, a father. Now, brethren, I commend you, I commit you to God, I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care, and I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. That word is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance amongst all of God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul, to build you up. To build you up. So the greatest tools we need, the word of God, the grace of God. What about the skill, the greatest skills we need? A compassionate heart, a father's compassionate shepherding heart, experiential knowledge. Because you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. You can't tell somebody, be pleasing to God, when you don't know how to be pleasing to God. You can't give what you don't have. And of course, above everything else, the wisdom of God. Let's read this devotional and close today. Day 13 of Uncommon Wisdom. It's titled, The Foundation of Success. I once heard on a TV show some people discussing the story of a well-known gentleman who seemed to have accumulated a lot of money and success, but he lost everything because of the poor decisions he made. And I was amazed that even on this secular show, the speakers used the term foundation of success. The man who lost everything, they said, didn't have a good foundation of success in his life. Sometimes, when believers face calamity or unfavorable situations in life, they are usually very quick to blame the devil or other people, just like Adam did. And please don't misunderstand me. The devil certainly deserves a good amount of blame for every evil thing that happens in people's lives. Because he is the thief Jesus spoke about, who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But oftentimes, he also has a lot of cooperation from people because of the plethora of bad decisions they make every day. I want you to pay close attention to the statement I am about to make. And I encourage you to file it away carefully in your heart so you can always remember it. The main difference between true lasting success and temporary fleeting success is really the foundation of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ shared a parable of two builders in Luke chapter 6. These two builders seemed to be successful in their endeavors initially. However, when the storms of life arose, only one of the two houses that were built withstood the pressure and the assault of the elements. Let me ask you today, what are you building in your life? Will it last and stand the test of time? The main difference between the two builders in the parable Jesus told was that only one of the builders laid a foundation on wisdom and the rock of the Word of God. He heard and did what God's Word said. The other man, the other builder, was just a great listener who didn't practice what he heard. Receive the grace today to be a wise master builder. Amen. Your house will stand the test of time. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Would you stand to your feet? Let's close out today. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we honor you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for the blessing and the gift of your word. What a blessing. What a glorious blessing. Thank you, Father, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for breathing upon your word today, giving us understanding, illumination, light, clarity, revelation. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the unction of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that you have placed upon every man under the sound of my voice today to be a builder with you. That they are called to be builders with you. We're not just building brick and mortar, things that won't last, things that will fall apart. We're building lives. Lord, I pray today for clarity and understanding, for revelation, for wisdom, for every man who is listening to me today. Such deep clarity to see the value of the blessing of building lives. That our investments are not in vain. That our labor is never in vain. Give us clarity and understanding. And sometimes even when we are rebuffed, sometimes even when we are told off, to stay with it. To be full of courage. Help us not to chicken out when the going gets tough. Sometimes when obstacles and roadblocks arise, and we can't see a way forward, help us to keep pressing forward. Help us to keep pressing forward. Like you told Joshua, have I not told you? Be strong and courageous. Give every man today and every woman under the sound of my voice, those that are building lives, those that are building precious lives, give them a special gift of courage, strength, and grace. Father God, I ask you for illumination in our spirit being. Lord, help us see beyond where we are. Somehow, Mordecai knew some things, even though he didn't understand everything. And the things he knew, he commanded to Esther. his daughter. She did not understand it herself, but she obeyed. And because she obeyed, she reaped the benefit of obedience. Not in her wildest dreams did she imagine she will be the queen of the greatest nation on earth. A girl who was bereaved early, lost daddy and mommy early. A girl who was disadvantaged early. A girl who seemed to be behind early, yet became the queen of the greatest nation on earth. What a blessing. What a glory. What a glory. Only your word and your grace and your favor could make that happen. For these ones that we are called to build, our children, whether biological or spiritual, adopted or whatever, I pray for them. Give them hearts that yield, hearts like the heart of Esther. Give them hearts that yield even when they don't understand. Even when they don't know why, God, hearts that yield, hearts that obey, hearts that trust. Lord, touch them. The Bible says, our children will be taught of the Lord. Great will be the peace of our children. As you teach them through us, let their peace be great. Let their peace be great. Let that devourer not steal their peace. Let that serpent not lead them in the wrong direction. Let him not deceive them and beguile them like he did for Eve. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we cover our children today with the blood of Jesus. We declare today our children will stand out. They will be outstanding. They will be significant. They will be trailblazers. They will be pathfinders. Woo, glory to God. They'll be unique in their generation. The anointing and the glory of God will rest mightily upon them. They will be stars. They will shine in the firmament of heaven. The world will gather together to look at them and to see the mighty hands of God manifested upon their lives. Great grace and favor will abide upon them. Doors that are shut to normal, ordinary, average people will open to them of their own accord. Supernatural provision, uncommon provision, uncommon wisdom, great grace, favor, favor that is extreme. We follow them. We follow them. Everywhere they go. Some of them are little children now. But Father, as we open our eyes of vision, as we open the eyes of our spirit and we look ahead, some of these ones that seem like little children, they're the Davids of the future. They're the kings and the rulers of tomorrow. Some of these ones that look like little children, they're the Esthers of the future. The beautified queens. We call them blessed. We call them blessed. Father, we give you praise. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Woo! He deserves the glory. Hallelujah. Our God is so awesome. He's so good. Woo! I don't know about you. I feel a special anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place. Glory to God. Esther's being raised in the kingdom of God. David's being raised. World changers. Thank you, Father. Happy Father's Day, man. God bless you. We love you all. Amen. I pray a new, fresh, glorious grace upon your lives. The Lord enable you and equip you to be everything that He's called you to be. In Jesus' mighty name. We look forward to open heavens. We're excited about it. Please join us for our time of prayer this coming week. It's going to be awesome. Join us on Wednesday for Bible study. Glory to God. Invite somebody for open heavens. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.